Just want to say hello to everyone. Welcome back, Rachel, Susan, and June. Good to see you again. There's probably a lot of others that I haven't seen in a while, but it's good to be here. I have a very simple message that I want to share with you. Nothing that's profound, but I think it's essential for your own theology, especially in these last days. These are some exciting times that we are living in today. And unless you grab hold of this simple message that I'm going to share with you today, it's going to be a very difficult time to live in these last days, and you'll miss the wave of what God is doing. I'm talking about the fatherhood of God, but one aspect of it today. And what's in the Father's heart? What is it that He is revealing to us in these last days? I want to just read something out of the book After God's Own Heart, and by Mike Bickle. I want to read just an insert in here about a prophecy from Paul Kane, one of the great modern-day prophets of today. The Lord spoke to him and said that He was going to raise up a young adult movement all over the world and reveal to them a new approach to holiness. He spoke to Paul about something new in terms of our Christian traditions. It will not be new in terms of Scripture. It will be an approach to holiness that woos people with a revelation of His tenderness. Instead of being motivated by fear and shame, believers will be empowered to holiness because of the affection for us that burns in God's heart. The highest and best way of motivating the human heart to righteousness is through fascination and exhilaration in love. This is what the Lord God told Paul Kane. And when I first read that part, I said, yes, amen. I totally agree, because as I examine my walk of Christianity over the years, I was in love with Jesus the very first moment that I became born again. But before I was born again, I was a church attender. I just sat there, and the minister said, anybody that wants to be a Christian, come join the church. So I thought that's the way that you become a Christian. So I came forth, and they baptized me. I went under the water, and I came out of the water. I went under dry, came up wet, but there was nothing happened in my heart, no transformation. I was the same person that I was when I came into the church, when I left. There was no change whatsoever. I didn't have this love for God. I just had an insurance policy. You know what I mean by an insurance policy? I had salvation. I knew that I would be going to heaven. I wasn't going to heaven because I didn't have the Spirit of God in me. I wasn't born again. I had the knowledge of God in my head. You know, if someone said something about God as a father, that would just go across like that. Jesus was okay, but God the Father, I would not understand what they were talking about. How can you relate God as a father? And but then the Lord began to work on me, and the first moment that He touched my spirit, the first moment that He revealed Himself to me, I was a wrecked individual. I was in love with God. For the first time I realized, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. I knew that there was this burning love in God's heart for me, and all I wanted to do was learn to love Him back. And then when I found someone else that loved Him a lot better than I did, more than I did, I was jealous. I didn't want to share this love with anybody, just me and God. I didn't understand. And then there was a lot of rocky roads on the way. Got involved with some churches, and, you know, all of a sudden different traditions and laws and rules and regulations and things like that come. And you begin to lose that motivation, that first love that God has imparted in your heart. And God took me out of that situation and brought me into YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And I was with them for 11 years. It was there that I learned about the Father heart of God, and I began to learn about His love, what motivates Him. And then I began to give my heart wholeheartedly to Him. And then this love relationship between me and Him started. And ever since then, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to break His heart. When I'm motivated by love, then I don't try to see what I can get away with and be okay with. All I want to do is please my Heavenly Father with this love relationship. And today what I'm going to talk about is as God is a Father, is the Father God, is He mostly mad, glad, or sad? I'll mention that again. Is God mostly mad, glad, or sad? Now, I don't know if you thought much about that before, but with the size of a congregation this size, I would say probably most of you probably think that God is probably disappointed in most cases. But when we understand that He's not disappointed, you can do great exploits in God. Your life totally changes. And a lot of that is determined, the way we see God is determined by the way we were raised, our families, our parents, bless their hearts. Parents do the best that they can, but they make a lot of mistakes. No one has perfect parents. No one does. And sometimes they wound and hurt. And we get a message from our parents sometimes that says that you're not important. You're not good enough. It may not be the message that they intend to give us, but that's how we perceive it sometimes. And that message we take hold of and we grab hold of it and we come into agreement with it, and then it messes our entire life up. But what it does is, as we begin to take in these messages in our lives from our parents that are not good, and we make vows and agreements with them, then it causes us to see a distorted view of who God the Father is. We begin to see Him as one that's distant, not really interested in me, mad, glad, or sad. How does God the Father feel most of the time? How do you think He feels most of the time? Do some of us think that, oh, once in a while He's happy with me when I pay my tithes, when I go to church on a consistent basis, when I'm kind to my neighbor? Is that when he's nice? When I go on a mission trip, is that when God is glad and happy? Is that what we think sometimes? I don't want to put words in your mind or thoughts, but I just want to be open and just share a little bit of my heart today. Is he bored? Is the Father bored? Do you think He's bored? Is He worried? We look at the news every day as we take in the news and view what's going around the world. Maybe we think that God is worried, some of us. Is He concerned? Is God concerned? Does He walk around with a concerned face all the time? I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Jimmy again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm really concerned that he's gonna cause this or do this or make a big mistake. You think God is concerned? Is He detached? I just love sharing the gospel with people that don't know God. And most of them think that God the Father is detached, that He's like a sky pilot. He sits up there and He just, you know, watches everything, and He has these puppet strings and He does things. You know, they think He's detached from us. Detached from us physically and detached from us emotionally. He is not detached. Is He engaged? Is He happy, mad, glad, or sad? It sounds kind of lighthearted, but it's one of the most important questions of our entire spiritual walk. How does God the Father feel when He looks at you? I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel like God's face is like right there in front of me. And He's looking down into my heart. And there used to be a time when I felt that way that I would just shudder. And I would be so afraid. And I'll shut down and I want to run. where can you run? But now, because I understand more from the Word of God who He is, that He is a glad Father, and that He loves me and He adores me, when He looks at me like that, all I see in my Father's face is love and gladness. Not condemnation like before, like I want to go like this in front of Him, or run away from Him. Am I speaking to anyone? Amen? Oh, okay, okay, you're there. My church is home. I hear a lot of, amen, brother, preach it. Okay, then the guy in the organ starts playing, you know. I know people are alive out there, okay? Yes, how does God the Father feel when He looks at me or look at you? What wells up in His eyes when His eyes turn upon your life? I was with a man last night, and I just looked at him, and I had just been in the presence of the Father, and he's been ministering for like 45 years or so, very old, and he's about ready to just retire from everything. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share with him and just encourage him to prophesy over him. And as I just looked at him and his wife, I just felt God's love for him. You know, God just consumed with consuming fire, that kind of passion and love that you just can't put out. He just loves that man so much. And I just began to share with him how God feels about him and his wife. And the tears began to flow in his eyes, and his wife just, we all just started crying. My eyes just was so watery because I just felt God's love for him. And I said, God, if you feel that way about him, when you look at me, you must feel the same way. Because when you are in love, you can't help but cry. When you guys had us in that song, Amazing, I don't know how many people had who out here today who shed a few tears, but I did. You can't hold back the tears when you're in love. Your heart becomes tender before him. In most cases, people see God as mostly mad, and people see God the Father as mostly sad. And in many cases around the world, and I get this from some of the counseling things that I do and also the surveys around the world, many people think it's their fault that God is sad or mad. They think it's their fault, that they're not good enough. They believe that God is angry and that God is grieved and that he's disappointed with each of us. They view God as distant and angry, that he's sitting on a throne and spending this time with all this emotional energy, disappointed with mankind. That's how a lot of people see God, that he's distant. He's very disappointed with mankind. Now, I had to go to court not too long ago. I had to appeal something with my landlord, and I hadn't. It's been a long time since I've been in any court setting, and I went in. I wasn't ready for this kind of judge. When he walked in, he slammed the mallet, you know, and really hard, and he said, "Okay, I'll present this case." And my landlord presented this case, and then he just started yelling at her, "Why are you wasting my time like this?" And he just went off, and his eyes got red, and his face was all red, and he was just shaking all over the place. I'm going, "Oh no, no, I'm next." And I'm just going, "Wait a minute now. Okay, I got to get myself together. Okay. All right. Who am I? Ah, I'm God's son. He loves me. I don't have to worry about this man. Okay?" But he yelled at my landlord and so forth and so forth. And then he yelled at me. The scripture tells us very opposite of who God is as a father, that he smiles and he rejoices. Now, I was on an airplane to Malaysia just recently, and I was a little bit down in my spirit because I was carrying some really heavy burdens. And I just kind of looked back the seats behind me, and I saw this woman and her husband, and they looked like they were Muslim. I don't know if they were Muslims, but they looked like it. And they had three children. And the husband was, he was holding the youngest child in his arms. And he didn't know I was looking at him through the seats. I was just kind of, I got caught up on these people. Because he had this massive beard. It was a beautiful looking beard. But what caught my eye was he was looking at his child. And all he was doing was looking at her face. And he was taking such delight in her. His eyes were just full of delight. And he, you could just see that he loved his little girl. She was sleeping. She had her, she didn't have a clue what he was doing. And I just got mesmerized at this. I just kept watching. And I just felt the Lord was saying, you see how that man is taking such delight in his child? That's how I see you, my son. I am glad. You make me glad. I'm a happy God. I'm not the God that you used to think that I am. But even now, when you're feeling a little bit down, just look into my face, look into my eyes. I'm happy. I'm a God that smiles. And he says, when I looked into that man's face, I saw him smiling at his little girl. I mean, he did it for about 20 minutes. You know, and she's not doing anything. She's not doing anything to earn this. She's too young anyways to do anything to really to please him. She is just being. Just being who she is. That's the place that we want to be. At a place of just being. And know that when the Father looks at you, he's not disgusted. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you. And he's glad. He's happy. Now, I'll clarify some of that later on because some of you are probably thinking, well, what about sin and what about all these other things? We'll talk about that later. But he loves you so much. So the scripture gives us a different viewpoint that he's a God that smiles. And we'll go over some scriptures in a minute about that. God is mostly glad. You know, if you can turn to Deuteronomy 30, verse 9, Moses, under the prophetic anointing, he made a stunning declaration about the Lord's gladness. He said, 30 verse 9, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over our fathers. And in this passage, God was telling Moses that at the end of the age, God the Father will break forth. God the Father himself will break forth with rejoicing over his people. He will break forth over rejoicing over his people. He will reveal himself to them as the glad God who overflows with delight and enjoyment. Just think of that. The God of the universe, the judge of all, is going to break forth with rejoicing over his people. And instead of us like cowering, you know, at the feet of an angry God, the body of Christ will bask. They will bask in the peace and in the sunshine of his gladness. His gladness. Oh, I used to be so afraid, even as a Christian at first, that if I wasn't doing the right thing, and if I died right now, I would be in trouble. Or I wasn't doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden the rapture comes. In America, there was a time in the 80s and 70s that we always talked about the rapture. Everybody talks about the rapture. And so I was always afraid that I'd be caught doing something not quite right, not quite pleasing to God, and then I'm gonna lose out and I'm going to be here. Because I've been watching all those movies about the end times and the rapture and so forth. So I was afraid. The relationship still was somewhat based on fear. And once I couldn't find my wife and my daughter, and I thought they were raptured up, and I was so afraid. I was so afraid that I had missed the rapture. Does that bear witness to anyone here? No? Okay. You don't talk about the rapture. Okay. But this is the day we are living in. He's going to break forth. He's breaking forth now. There are many churches today that are getting this revelation of what Paul Cain was given by God. That in these last days we're going to be motivated by this wave of God's Spirit, which is a wave of agape love. The Father is pouring out his love like never before. In the book of Acts, you see all the great things that happened in the book of Acts. Great moves of God. And the reason why, people were motivated by love. But it won't even touch these last days what God is going to do. I live over Discovery Bay. And a few people are beginning to catch hold of this vision. And they're beginning to see God as a God of gladness. And they're motivated. There's no fear. And now they're out sharing the gospel with people boldly. And families are coming to know God now. Families who didn't know that God was a God of love. Families that their God was alcohol and their jobs. Their whole life was consumed with alcohol and their jobs. And travel. They love to travel, Discovery Bay. They love to go different places. Bali all the time and different other places and come back. And these people, like this one particular family, once they begin to see how much God loves them, he's not condemning them, their entire lives have changed. No need for alcohol anymore. You know, we're seeing lives change, being transformed right before us. Why? Because a few people are beginning to understand that they're not motivated by guilt. They're motivated by love. The Mormons are motivated by guilt. And they do a lot of, as far as their standards concerned, good things. They're everywhere. They're in Mongolia. I see them in Mongolia. I don't see them out in the rough areas. They're in the city. But they're reaping because they're motivated by guilt. It's amazing what a person will do when they're motivated by guilt. But when you're motivated by love, oh man, there's no limits to what can happen. God is calling us in this relationship today. So this is a wonderful day to live in. Many passages about God's gladness abound are throughout the Bible, everywhere. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it reveals him as one who rejoices. God the Father is revealed in Zephaniah. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amen? Imagine that. Imagine. He will sing and he will rejoice over his people with gladness. Now, how many have fathers that you can honestly say are glad, they're glad? And are they glad only once in a while? Do you have fathers that are consistently full of gladness? They're consistently happy? Or you have fathers and some mothers that are at times. It depends on what's going on. It depends if we have enough money in the bank. It depends on if we're going to have a summer vacation, or if it depends on this and depends on that. Well, your Heavenly Father is one. His whole being is gladness. He is gladness. He rejoices over his singing. And so, number one, he will sing and rejoice over his people with gladness. And then number two, he will quiet our stormy hearts with the revelation of his love. Now, let me give you an example. He will quiet our stormy hearts with the revelation of his love. Now, I'm not talking about knowledge. Okay, just the knowledge. You need the knowledge of his love. But I'm talking about that God will give you the revelation of his love. And that's what we want to see happen today. That you receive a revelation of, you experience his love. It's one thing to leave here with the knowledge of that God is a God of gladness. It's another thing to experience it. He will quiet our stormy hearts with a revelation of his love. That same landlord that I told you about, I'm blessing her. Bless her, Lord. Just be with her and bless her. We had some stormy times in our lives there a while ago, and we couldn't. Some things happened out of our control, and we couldn't pay our rent on time. So we called her and told her that we're not going to be able to pay our rent on time, but we will have it paid by a certain time. And she said, okay. And so 1 week went by. We finally got the money, and we transferred into her bank account. And before we could call her, she had already gone down to the land tribunal, and she sent some officers over, and they pinned up. We didn't know this. We were gone. They pinned up a notice on our door that we would be evicted if we don't pay our outstanding bill. And it was on there was the amount that we owed and the date that we have to be out of the place to have all the possessions given back to her and and it's all circled and everything. We got neighbors here, neighbors there, you know, that we're witnessing to, and a lot of things, you know. I mean, this was crazy. And I called her and I said, why did you do that? There was no reason for that. Oh, I don't have any money. And she just went into it. So we just blessed her. But the challenge was for me. Now, I've learned in Asia about face, okay, losing face. And in that situation, we potentially we would lose face. So my wife and I stopped for a moment. Now, in my past, I would have just pushed it down and said, no problem, dealt with it, got angry, dealt with her, and everything would have been finished, okay? And I would have dealt with her with a strong arm. And gone into denial that it didn't bother me. But I don't do that anymore. Praise God for that. Sat down. Okay, what's going on inside my heart? Okay, Jimmy, the temptation is for you to give ground to Satan again, to give grounds in your life of shame. And it's knocking on your door. Give it to me, son. I love you. I honor you. And I'm happy about you. So don't be angry with yourself. Don't blame yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. And forgive her. And I did. But I had to get in his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. He's a glad God. And in his presence, I can see him. And he speaks to me and encourages me. Son, I love you. There is nothing in this world that's more important to me than to hear my Father say to me, I love you. I approve of you. I couldn't have received that years ago because I was so shattered inside my heart with so much rejection and condemnation. But God has been healing me, and now I can receive that love. It's a beautiful love. It's a transforming love. He just... Totally changes you with this love of his. And so we were free from this whole thing of embarrassment and shame. You see, when you're free from it, then you don't have to worry about face. And you know what? Our neighbors, I don't know if they ever saw it or not. They never mentioned it. There's no break in our relationship. We're still very close with one another and so forth. So the enemy can't do anything with you when you're in love. And you know your love. Amen? The Father's song over his people are not just songs of they're not songs of anger, but of rejoicing and tender love. That's the Father's song over you. Remember the song in Zephaniah. He said, I will take great delight in you. I will take great delight in you. That's coming from your Father. I will take great delight in you. And I will rejoice over you with, I will quiet you with my love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. And again, that song isn't anger, but a rejoicing of tender, tender love. He's not promising us a song that will make us glad, but he has promised us a song to sing songs that make us glad. Like, for instance, the song Amazing, and some of the songs the worship leaders sang today, so good. These songs reveal the affectionate heart of our God to us. It's his affection to us. And then our response back to him is, he's amazing. And God is revealing even more of his heart to worship leaders that are open today, his affection. This is God revealing himself to us. He's singing over us. It's what he's doing. And he does that in many different ways. Sometimes I know people have heard God actually singing to them. My spirit sometimes can feel him singing over me and his excitement over me. And sometimes it's through the words that he's released into the hearts of worship leaders. And so listen very carefully and know that that's God singing over you. Sometimes it's a sunrise of something in nature. When we were in South Africa this a few months ago, and then last year, the sunrises are amazing. And when I see the sunrise, I say, oh, Father, thank you for just romancing me and letting me know that you just so love me. Thank you for creation. Oh, he's good. He's good. Now, a little boy. I was at TG Fridays having dinner with some friends, and we were sitting there having a wonderful time with each other. There was this little boy who was about 7 years old. It was his birthday. And he stood up on a chair. They had him stand up on a chair. Now, the table that the parents are sitting in and their friends are right in front of the chair. So he's standing up high, and I think he had a crown on his head. I can't remember now. But they had his cake in his hand like this. It was a nice, beautiful-looking cake with the candles and everything. And then the staff of TG Fridays was surrounding him, and they were all clapping and singing happy birthday. And so we stopped what we were doing and started singing happy, just join in with them and singing happy birthday to this little boy who was 7 years old. And so we were all having a good time. The parents were just having a good time. And all of a sudden, the boy was laughing and laughing. And then he got so into the birthday song that the cake slid out of his hand and it just plop and fell on the ground, on the floor. And everybody on our table, everybody stopped, and we looked over at the parents thinking, uh-oh, birthday ruined. And the staff didn't clap anymore. They're like, everything's still still. But the parents, they were laughing so hard. The little boy never once were apprehensive. The little boy never hesitated to start laughing. The little boy didn't stop and look to see if they were okay and then went on. No, he was just like this on his chair. He was just laughing. And the parents were all on the table and they were all stressed out laughing so hard. Then we started laughing and everybody in there started laughing. And everybody, we just looked at each other. I was looking at the boy looking at us. And we just laughed. We're all just laughing. And I said, wait a minute, something's going on here. And God said, yes. That's how I'm with you, Jimmy. Same way. You don't have to take everything so seriously. See, I was thinking that he dropped that cake. This is money. And I know how important money is in Hong Kong. And they're going to be upset with him for embarrassing them. I've seen things like that happen before where the parents slapped him across the head or something, you know. But they were just enjoying their Sunday. Cake wasn't important. They got down on the floor, picked the cake up, put it back in the boy's hand, finished the song, placed it down, and they left laughing, walking out the door laughing. And that's how the Lord showed me. That's how I am. Most of the mistakes and things that you make, it doesn't bother me, God says. But it bothers you because of your insecurities, Jimmy. You don't have the right understanding completely of who I am. A lot of stuff I think is cute because he still sees us as little children. Sometimes we are so hard on ourselves. We never feel that we arrive. We don't pray enough. We don't pray hard enough. We don't give enough tithing. We don't go to church enough, to activities enough. Enough, enough, we should do this, we should do that. And I'm just saying, stop shooting yourselves. We need a shirt that says, I would not shoot myself today. And rest in his love like that little boy. That little boy knew he was loved by his parents. Amen? That was probably one of the greatest revelations I've gotten in the whole month of my time, just in the scriptures and things, you know? Oh, let me watch my time here. Okay. Yes, so He sings to us through music. He sings to us through nature. He sings to us sometimes with an audible voice. Many ways he sings to us. Through kindness, through different people. Many different ways he sings. He sings to us by the love that we have for one another. And The rest of Zephaniah lays the backdrop for the divine promise. It describes the scene of the end of the age when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. In that day, in Luke 21:26, it says, in that day, man will literally die of heart attacks because of fear. There's a worldwide fear today that's common with everyone. It'll be, and even now, it's one of the, and it will be, the predominant emotions. It's fear worldwide. Now, in Mongolia, I don't think the people know what antidepressants are. They don't know what it means to go see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or a counselor, because they live such simple lives. When I went to Mongolia a couple of years ago, we took a four-day horseback trip up in the mountains to find, and I've told this story to you before, the Chatan people, who are reindeer people, who are nomadic and very primitive. And when we finally found them up in near the Siberian border, the chief of the tribe came up to me and he says, excuse me, did you come up here to convert us to modernism? I says, well, no, why would I want to do something like that? I wouldn't want to convert you to modernism. Why? No way. You guys have it made out here. I'm thinking about, you know, just building myself a suite out here or something, because this is nice. No stress whatsoever. So we came up here to share with them God's love. And that was they received that. And I'll tell you more about that another time. But in working with different ones here in Hong Kong, I'm going to be working with this lawyer real soon. And she and another family that I've been working with both had the same psychiatrist. And that particular psychiatrist himself was also on depressant pills and all kinds of other medications. And, the pills are the answers to problems in the world today. And but when they come and they meet us, we tell them that, you know, through our counseling, you can get off of this. You know, the goal is to get you off. That Jesus will completely heal you. That your Father loves you. And we've seen it happen time and time again. But this lady, these two couples, I'll tell you about the lawyer and the others, they both went to the same psychiatrist. And this guy ended up committing suicide. And that left him with no hope. And all of his clients, almost all of his clients, there's just like no hope. Because if he killed himself, then they feel it. What's going to happen to me? You know? But God promises us that this love, the Father promises that this joy that he gives us, as we understand that he's a God of gladness, will sustain us in these last days, that you will have life. And, I mean, now even the top conditioned athletes are dying of heart attacks. You know, basketball players on the basketball floor die just like that of a heart attack. Many people just die just like that because of so much fear. And then there's, of course, other problems too. But many people, because of fear, their hearts are failing them, just like the scripture tells us. But we don't have to be like that as Christians. You know, the world should be running to us because we understand that our God is a God of love, that our Father loves us and embraces us, and that because of that, that love, that we don't have to be depressed. Now, I know I say that, and some of you right now are probably depressed right now, but I just want to tell you, hey, there's answers for you as well. God promises that he will comfort and quiet his people by releasing his song of affection and gladness to us in these last days. He will calm us inside by this revelation. Intimacy with a glad Father will nourish our souls. Intimacy, and Pastor Sam talked about that, I think it was the last Sunday or the Sunday before. Intimacy is very important because it's the intimacy that will nourish our soul and sustain the body of Christ in the midst of all this unprecedented calamity that's coming before us. You remember the SARS, when that happened. I remember over in Discovery Bay how people were just so frightened. They were horrified. Man, they got out of this city, they got out of Hong Kong so fast, only to get off the airplane in some nations and end up in quarantine. You know, but they were so afraid. Even ministers were afraid. Ministers, you walk in the church, the minister has a mask on, he's got gloves on. They won't even have communion because they were so afraid of SARS. And I just stood up against that with other ministers and said, hey, look, either we believe this or not. Yeah, we want to be wise, but we don't want to project fear. If we can't come to the house of God and be free to take communion, and we're standing with gloves and masks, what kind of faith is that? Can we trust that our Father will protect us? And so these last days, we're going to experience a lot of that, a lot of fears. Like a parent with a troubled child, God will sing love songs that soothe in us and impart in us his delight. When Moses longed to see, remember this, when Moses longed to see God's glory, God promised to make known his glory and goodness to him by revealing what? Remember, he said, I want to see your glory. What did God reveal to him? God revealed to him his compassion, his emotion. In Exodus 33:18-19. Next, God declared his glory as being the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, Exodus 34:6-7. Notice when God reveals his glory, he emphasizes the glory of his emotions. Why? Because he wants us to know his emotions. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to be able to get before him on a daily basis and to glance into the heart of God and to know that he's a God that's glad. This is an essential foundation for everyone's theology in here, to understand that God is a God of gladness. The Father's heart is infinitely glad in the fellowship of the Trinity. Jesus demonstrated that gladness. And Jesus himself describes himself in creation as saying in Proverbs 8:30. Let's turn to Proverbs 8:30 there real quick. He said in Proverbs 8:30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Jesus was the personification. He was the personification of wisdom, was the right hand of God, the Father. He was always there, the right hand of the Father. He possessed overflowing delight and gladness while he was creating. You see, when he created the heavens and the earth, he didn't create it out of boredom. He didn't create it out of obligation, but he was full of delight. Revelation 4:11 says that God the Father creates not out of duty or boredom, but out of his pleasure. And he's created you out of his pleasure. Did you know that the Father created you out of pleasure? You can find that in Ephesians 1. I'm just going to summarize it, that he knew you. You were in God's thoughts before the foundation of the world. He created you in his mind. You were conceived in his mind before the creation of the world. And it says that he created you in pleasure. You see, he's happy with you today. He's happy. Even the weakest Christian here today, I just want you to know that the Lord God is happy with you. When one of the ways that you can look at that, let's say one of the weakest that are here, or whoever you are, we can't point fingers at anybody. I might be the weakest, I don't know, today. But when he lost one of the sheep, when the shepherd lost one of the sheep, he left the 99 and went after one. When he found that one, he placed that sheep on his shoulders, the lamb on his shoulders. And it said that, that the, that the shepherd was exceedingly glad. This was like an allegory of the heart of the Father. He's a father of gladness. He's fascinated with us. Now, we ourselves, we just cannot perceive the beauty of our Father and His gladness when we are laden with rejection and, you know, just this whole thing of rejection in our lives and condemnation. Because what happens, we shut our hearts down. And so we can get a head knowledge of God being a God of gladness, but we don't have it quite here. What God wants to do is to have you open up your heart and have you invited into those areas of pain and hurt. That's what Jesus wants to do, for He is anointed as the healer. And He wants to heal you in those places of pain and hurt. And as He heals you in that place, as you invite Him to come there, He won't go on His own. He needs you to invite Him. He's a gentleman. The Bible says He knocks, "Behold, I knock at the door of your heart. I knock and I ask, can I come in? Can I sup with you, fellowship with you?" Well, He knocks at the door of our heart and says, "Let me have that pain. Let me have that wound, that hurt that you have, and let me heal you at that place." And then as you're being healed, and as you come to understand that God isn't condemning you, there is one that is, and that's the devil, that you're not rejected, then now your heart, as you are healed and understand this, and you open, now your heart is open to embrace the beauty of your Father in heaven. Oh, what a beautiful Father. He's beautiful. He's the greatest source of pleasure that you'll ever get on the face of this earth or the universe. But are we afraid of it? Do we still even now begin to see Him as a Father that is angry and mad? In closing, around his throne, the elders worship with great gladness. When you go to heaven, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see, if God ever gives you a revelation that now, He could, but you're going to see the creatures. The Bible reveals to us all in the scriptures that the creatures in heaven are glad around His throne. For in His pleasure, in His presence are pleasures forevermore. In His presence, it's pleasures forevermore. The creatures, the angels are glad. Did you know the angels are happy as well? They're happy. And you remember the angels that came and began to proclaim that Jesus was coming, a Savior is coming. He's coming to save us. And it says they burst out in worship and song. You see, God has put that in them to be happy. Heaven is a happy place. Amen?
Amen.
I look forward to heaven. Now, there is a judgment coming as well. There's not the judgment that will send those that are born again Christians to hell, but you'll be judged for your works. Oh, God loves us so much. And He will judge sin. This is not just a fly-by-night holiness that I'm talking about. This is a happy, I call it a happy holiness. Many are saying that today. It's a happy holiness in these last days. It's not the old days that we used to say about holiness. You know, just you see people there, they said, "I'm holy, I'm saved, and I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, I am holy," but yet their face is grim, their face is angry, they walk around and you're afraid they're not approachable, you know, you're afraid of them. This is not the kind of holiness in these last days that God is releasing. He's releasing a power through happy holiness, that your Father in heaven is happy. And He wants you to be, we should be the happiest people in the world, you know. We should be. We should be a people of gladness. How many of us are? Okay. What I want to do this with this, and another time I will continue on with this particular message, because we have to grab hold of this. Let me give you a scripture that you could take with you. Revelation 11:16. The elders at the throne of God, they're happy. Luke 15:10. That Jesus said that the joy The presence, when there's angel, when one sinner give their hearts to Jesus, all the angels rejoice. Job 38:7. Job 38:7. And let me just tell you what that means, because you'll see in there it says the sons of God. Job said when God created the world, the angels referred to as the sons of God. And you'll see that in Job 38:7. The angels are referred here as the sons of God. And they were filled with happiness as they sang. Now these angels were they were over the top. I love that. The angels were over the top with exhilaration because they're happy about God. In heaven, you will be very happy. The closer that you get to Him, the closer you get to the Father, the closer you get to Him in relationship to Him, the happier you'll be, the more you'll experience His pleasure. Deuteronomy 28:47-38. And in that one, the Father expects us to respond to His gladness. That's very important to know that. Know that, that I'm not just giving you just some thing to tickle your ear, but He demands that we, that He requires that we understand and know His gladness in Deuteronomy 28:47-38. And there's consequences if we don't. When you enter into God's joy and gladness, the door of much of Satan's activity is shut. Just like I share with you how this landlord had this tribunal put up this notice on our door, and we were tempted to go into shame. The enemy's tactics against you is limited. He cannot penetrate this when you understand God's gladness, and that gladness is in your own heart. It shuts the activity of the enemy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There's another one for you. A glad heart is a strong heart. The Bible says to us, the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8:10. Now, what I like to do with this is, if I can have the worship team come back up, and I'd love for you to sing that song again, Amazed. I'm Amazed, okay? And what I was trying to do is to paint a picture for you of God's gladness. And I'd like for you to experience that gladness today. I want you to see Him. I'm going to quickly take you to the throne room with your imagination. And then I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to take you in the Spirit, okay, to take just a moment. Now, you know that God is a glad God. So you can go before the throne of God and know that He's glad. He's happy, okay? So could you just close your eyes for a moment? I'm going to walk you through this. I've done this before with you. Some of you weren't here. Okay, I just want you to just quiet your hearts for a moment. Just quiet your hearts. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come in a very special way. Would you come, Holy Spirit? We need you at this time. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would impart into the lives of each person here a new and fresh revelation of you, Father, being glad with them. Jesus, you were the one that demonstrated the gladness of the Father. You were the most happiest being on the face of this earth. And everything that you did, you showed us what God is like. And so I ask now for your help. Thank you for that revelation. I just want you to imagine yourself that you're kind of like standing on a bridge, and this bridge is suspended in the heavenlies before heaven. And the girls are adorned in a white wedding dress. The white wedding dress symbolizes purity. The guys are in robes. Jesus died for you, and He's purified you by His blood. And so you can boldly go before the throne of Christ with no problem. And so as you're standing there, there's angels all around you, and they're glad. They're happy, and they're singing. There's great rejoicing in heaven Because the heart of the Father and the heart of Jesus is gladness. So all the creatures are glad. And then Jesus looks over and he sees you. And he looks at you with his eyes. And he asks you to come to the throne room. You can come boldly there if you want. And as you come to throne room, you can either bow before the throne, or you can even sit on the throne with him. For you are his joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You have a right to be there. Now, Lord, I ask that you would reveal to them your gladness, how glad you are, and how glad you are with each individual that's at the throne room right now. Lord, those that will be fearful, I ask that you take away the fear, because there's no fear in heaven. There's no Satan in heaven. There's just gladness. And would you take them in the Spirit now? Just let the Holy Spirit take you and let the Lord just minister to you his gladness. Father, thank you that David said in the word that you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Teach us, my Lord, how to get into the river. Teach us how to get into your presence. I just want you to pray this prayer after me. If you are wanting the Lord to just to reveal himself to you as a father that's glad. Father, I just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I desire to drink from the river of your pleasure. Father, would you open up the eyes of my heart that I might see who you really are. I need a fresh revelation of who you are. Give me a childlike heart so that I might see you. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come into my heart and touch those areas where I've been hurt and wounded, where I've felt deep rejection and condemnation. And I ask that you would pour your healing oil and heal me in those areas. For I don't want to feel like I'm the blame any longer, that I'm not good enough any longer, that I don't want to feel condemnation any longer. I don't want to move in fear any longer. For your perfect love casts out all fear. So would you just fill in those places where I've been wounded with more of your love? And let your gladness for my life mobilize me to come closer to you. Give me a Mary's heart, a heart that loves to be in your presence, a David's heart who longs to drink from the pleasures of your pleasure, from the river of your pleasure, Lord. I want this new anointing, this love anointing. And let this love completely heal my mind, my soul, my spirit. I come to you as a child, and I say, I need you, Daddy, to put your arms around me, to heal me. Help me to see throughout my day that you're not angry with me, that you love me, you're not disappointed with me, you're glad with me. Help me to hear your words daily, how much you love me and adore me. I haven't felt adored in a long time. I haven't felt irreplaceable. I haven't felt desired. But would you help me to feel desired and beautiful? Because you've made me beautiful. And you made me in your pleasure. And now I open my heart to you, Father. And I thank you.